kings there in the world, up in 7, 8, 9, all there. And he said in verse number 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." The word I'd like to call your attention to is in the top part of verse 12, where he says, "Fight the good fight." You ever looked at that word there a lot? Fight. We're in a fight. If you're a Christian, you are supposed to fight. People say, "Well, Christians are supposed to just love everything and everybody." No, they are not. Christians are supposed to love right and hate wrong. We're supposed to fight about some things. They were showing me the newspaper ad, the Asheville Citizen. I reckon it's today where they had the march. Is that today's month? And a while ago, we was looking at it, showed all those thousands of people that gathered yesterday in Asheville for that great march downtown, and that thing had an impact on this part of the country, no doubt about it. If the news media would be fair like they complain, like they claim to be, it would have an impact on the nation. But don't expect them to be fair. But anyway, they put that thing in the paper, and it said there's this one lady they interviewed from England, and she said, because they had on anti-homosexual shirts and things like that, and this woman says, "I am a Christian, but I am not anti-anything." Now, I don't know what kind of Bible that dear sister's been reading, but if you're a Christian and not anti-anything, you are a sorry Christian. You're a sorry Christian. You're not anti-devil? I mean, are you not anti-murder? Are you not anti-rape? What kind of a nuthead is anti-nothing? What's the use in a person even existing that's anti-nothing? I can imagine. Well, he's supposed to. You're supposed to fight. We're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. That's why a lot of Christians say, "Well, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to become involved in anything controversial." A lot of people are scared to come here to our church because we've been in the news and big controversy. That's why a lot of people wouldn't go to a march like that. They say, "Well, I just want to stay out of those divisive arguments, stuff like that." But there's no way in the world you can take a stand for God and the Bible and not get in a fight somewhere. Your time is coming. Your time is coming. You don't have to go looking for it. Your time is coming. You don't have to be a smart aleck and go look for a fight. It'll find you if you stand for God and the right. We are to fight the good fight. Did you hear about the church down in the country? I think somewhere down near eastern part of North Carolina, that was ordered that they could not display the flag outside their building by the city. Was it Raleigh? I think the zone in the city, part of the city that they live in. Something bad wrong in our nation when you are against, it's against the law to put up an American flag anywhere. Something wrong, brother. Something bad wrong. So the Bible says, fight the good fight. And if you think you're going to stand for God in the book without getting in a fight, you got another thing coming. I want to preach to you tonight, and you might not like me using this title, but I used it about 10 years ago, only one time since I've been preaching, and I think it come off an old cigarette commercial, but that ain't the way I mean it. And the title of the message is, "I'd rather fight than switch." Now, there's some things worth fighting over, amen? I never have liked to fight. Matter of fact, I don't believe I've actually been in a physical fight since I was maybe in the fifth or sixth grade. I got my share of fighting real quick. Being little, I got beat up. And brother, I wasn't too crazy about fighting. I remember when boys were getting fight, hit each other in the stomach and stuff like that. And I've avoided fights ever since. I don't want to get in a fight. But if you know, if you put me in a corner here tonight, and you back me up, and you had some guys, and they're just coming to me and going to work me over, and I have no choice, then I am going to fight. Amen? Now, according to the Word of God tonight, we are in a fight as Christians, a spiritual fight, and there are some things worth fighting over. I don't think God's people ought to just sit back and do nothing while the devil just takes over the world. I don't think that we should sit back while the devil just takes our kids to hell. I think we ought to fight. I think there ought to be something down inside of us that rises up and says, that's enough. That's all this stuff we're going to take. And brother, we ought to be willing to fight rather than switch. I want to name over a few things to you tonight. I don't know which old direction I might go. I'll just start and we'll see, okay? I want to say tonight, first of all, I'd rather fight than switch my King James Bible for a modern translation. I'd rather fight than lose my Bible, wouldn't you? I tell you, brother, we're not as many which corrupt the Word of God, as the Scripture said. But we believe that God's Word is forever settled in heaven. And I believe tonight with all of my soul that we have the Word of God exactly like God Almighty intended for us to have it, right here in the pages of this blessed book. And I tell you tonight, I'd rather fight than switch. I'd rather fight tonight than somebody take my King James Bible and give me living epistles. I'd rather fight tonight and keep my King James Bible than you say, well, Brother Danny, that's a controversial issue. I didn't make the controversy. The new modern ones made the controversy. We're just believing what God's people's always believed, that God gave us His Word, that it is inspired, that it is infallible, that it is inerrant, and not that it was the Word of God, but that it is, present tense, the very Word of God. You know what they find fault with the King James Bible? Get me up just a hair, Bill. I'm going to have to go down just a little bit on account of my throat. I'm going to try anyway. They try to find fault with the King James Bible. That's hard for me to do. And they say that the King James Bible has mistakes in it. They don't even like the word Baptist in a King James Bible. They say that has caused so much confusion that it should actually be an immersion. Immersion, because the word baptized means to immerse. And they say if they'd have translated that word immersion, then we wouldn't have had all this confusion about sprinkling and baptizing. Well, I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that God wanted the word baptized in the Bible. I believe God intended for us to have you'd have still had confusion. If immerse means baptized, baptized means immerse. Well, you know what blows my mind? How these guys change a word and give you a word that's exactly the same meaning as that word. They just like to change it. Anything to change it. They just want to change it. Somebody said one time, I heard a guy on the radio and he said, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And he wanted to change something like weight to heavy article. You know. Now what's the difference in a weight and a heavy article? Why not just leave it wait? You know why? People cannot stand not to put their hands on the Word of God. They want to change it, they die. They change it or die. I can't imagine us putting out there new manna immersionist ecclesia. They don't like the word church either. They want it to say ecclesia. The word ecclesia means called out. Do you notice? You notice how ecclesia sounds like Ecclesiastes? And you notice how ecclesia sounds like exit over your door? Exit, that means going out. Going out. Like the book of Exodus. Exodus means going out. That's where the word ecclesia. We're a called out assembly. And we're going out of this world one of these days. It don't take a genius to figure that out. We are, the Bible said He's called us out. And we like that word ecclesia. We like the word church. We like the word Baptist. We like the word judgment seat of Christ, not the Bema. We like the word love, not agape, phileo, eros. You know, oh, that's a bunch of junk, brother. What's wrong with love? Peter, do you love me? Phileo, ereo, eo. Oh, shut up, man. Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
You know why the Lord asked Peter three times, did he love him? Well, he said in the Greek, it was to demonstrate the difference between eros, phileo, and agape. No, it was not. It was because Peter denied him three times, and the Lord let him say, I love you three times, wanting to make up for each three of those denials in the King James Bible. Amen? I'd rather fight than switch and lose my old book. You know what they say? The gates, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. No, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Hades is the place of departed spirit. Hell is a place where people burn. And brother, that's what the book means. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord taught me an interesting lesson one time. Years ago, I was in a restaurant after a meeting, and back before I got real busy, and now I'm so busy that I can't even do what all I want to do. Back years ago, I had time to go to these things like they call preacher fellowship. And at a preacher fellowship, some of them's good. You have good preaching and all, but some of them are preachers trying to impress each other that ain't got nowhere else to preach. And they used to get up, and one of them would try to say this. Well, I went to a big meeting one time. We had a big service. There was several preachers preach. And after the service, we went in this restaurant. And I heard two people over talking on the table next to me. And they said, one of them said, well, it caused a lot of confusion. And another guy said, what? He said, when we had our scripture memory contest this year, said our kids at camp or something were up quoting scripture. And he said, the judge said, sorry, you're wrong. And the kid said, no, I got it right. And the judge said, well, quote it again. They quote again. The judge said, nope, you missed those words right there. They said, no, we didn't. We quoted that right. What happened was they was memorizing one version of the Bible, and the judge was using another version of the Bible. And they, those preachers sitting there, they said it caused all kind of confusion. And one of them said, it looks like we're all just going to have to start using the same version. And I thought, brilliant. Boy, isn't it amazing? Isn't it wild? How, listen, when they played baseball, now I don't like baseball's all right if you're real sleepy, but I don't ever watch a baseball game. I don't believe I've ever watched an entire baseball game. Well, the last game of the World Series might can keep you awake, but you know that's. But you know what they go by? They go by a rule book. And brother, every umpire ain't got his own version of the rule book. A guy could come running in there, he could slide in, like that, and then say, you're out. No, I'm not, I'm safe. You're out. No, I'm not, I'm safe. You're out. No, I'm not, I'm safe. What's going to settle that argument? The umpire. What does the umpire go by? The rule book. What if he pulls out a rule book and says, the rule book says, the official baseball rule book says, if the ball touches you, you know, and it says a controversial call, that man may pull out another rule book and say, well, here, this rule book says thus and so. Another man pull out and say, well, in my rule book, it even says something else. How are they going to settle that? They have to have one final authority. They have to all meet together, and they have to say, now listen, we're going to go by one set of rules. We're going to have the same rules in all the ball game to keep down arguments and confusion. And whatever that rule book said, I don't care if it hair lips the umpire, we're going to do what the rule book said. I'm telling you tonight, friends, it looks like we'd have that much sense in churches tonight, where we'd just say, we're going to have one rule book, and brother, what that book says is going to go around here. I don't care if it hair lips a preacher. I don't care if it higher lips a Sunday school teacher. Whatever the book said, that's it. God said it. That sells it. I'd rather fight than switch my old King James Bible for a new modern translation. Amen. Oh boy, I'll tell you, you know, you'd be shocked. I don't want to hurt you tonight. You'd be shocked if I stood up here and told you the well-known independent Baptist preachers that do not believe that's God's word right there. And I'm talking about many of them that get in the pulpit and say, I believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible word of God. You say, preacher, are they lying? No, just listen closely to what they're saying. I believe the Bible. When they say the Bible, they mean all the Greek manuscripts that they studied in Bible seminary. They're not talking about the book they've got in their hand. Now, if a man sins and says, I believe this Bible is the Word of God, and he don't believe it, he's lying. You shouldn't say that if you don't believe that. When the average Baptist preacher gets on the radio, if he was honest, he wouldn't say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. He would say, I believe the Bible was the Word of God. And now all we have is reliable or unreliable, depending on how you look at it, translations of the Word of God. I tell you tonight, we need to keep the Word of God. If this book ain't the Word of God, there ain't no Word of God. And if there ain't no Word of God, we're lost. There's no way out of this mess. Nobody's got the answer. Nobody's got the way out. You better hang on to this thing for dear life. Brother, you better hide it in your heart and learn it and love it and live it and hide it that you might not sin against God. Parents, teach it to your children. Walk it, talk it, love it, do what it said, because we've got an old book worth fighting for. Yes, sir, we sure have. But let me say secondly tonight, I'm going to move on quickly. Yeah, I'd rather fight and switch my salvation for fake religion. Amen. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I was a very religious man before I got saved. And he said, I did this. I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. I was a scribe, Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was up in the Jews above many mine equals. He said, I far excelled the average Jew. I knew the law backwards and forwards. He said, but when it comes down to comparing righteousness, which is of the law, to what Jesus Christ done for my soul on the road to Damascus, he said, I count it all lost and count it but dung that I may win Christ. You know what Paul said? He said, all of my religion is nothing more than a sewer, brother, compared to being saved by the grace of God. I'd rather fight than switch. And brother, he did. He fought rather than switch with the beast of Ephesus. Paul was a fighter. He fought the good fight, laid hold on eternal life. There's some things worth fighting for. Number three, I'm going to go on quickly tonight. I'd rather fight than switch our good old Christian hymns for modern gospel rock. Amen. Yes, sir. Man told me just the other day, he said, all music is good. He said, words, lyrics, as he called it, is what determines whether a song is bad or good. And he said, Lord sent me up here to tell you that, Danny. He said that right here after service. He had heard me preach several years ago in a church down Morgan or somewhere, and he said, I prayed about this. The Lord sent me up here to tell you. He was in a rock band, and he got right with the Lord. I believe he loved the Lord and trying to do right. But he said, you're right in a way, what you say about all that rock music, but he said, you're wrong in a way too. He said, really it's the words that makes it bad or good. And I said, I said, you hear this right here? I said, there ain't no way that's good. I said, that don't even appeal to your spirit. That appeals to your flesh. Amen. When you hear a car coming down the road and it's got, does that make you want to give out tracts? Does that make you want to say, glory to God. Woo, God, it just hit me right here. No, brother, listen. You say, well, the words makes it good or bad. There's bad words. There are bad words and good words. And there's bad music and there's good music. Right. Ain't no doubt about it. Boy, I mean, when you hear a song like we sung you a while ago, and can it be that I should, oh boy, that we should gain an entrance to? Listen, if you was outside and you couldn't understand one word of that song, that thing would be hitting you in the spirit. It's the spirit of that music. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, you ain't gonna find that in Africa, out in the jungle. That music don't go over where there's wicked lewdness. You'll never listen. If they're so broad-minded, how come they don't play that song in dance halls? It's all the same. Why don't Michael Jackson make a video and make it sound just like that song that we just got through singing, but put wicked words to it? And can it be what? That I should date you? We'll smoke some dope. He ain't going to make it to that one. Boom, boom, ba-boom. Boom, 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 boom. I ain't even ever tried to be Michael Jackson. I don't want to be. It'd be an insult if you said I did a good impression of him. If you say that, like one of these young men said here, said he's a single and he's looking for a wife. And he said, man, you can't win or something. Said, if you're single, if you wait around on a good Christian girl and you can't hardly find one to date, and then when you, if you don't, they say you're queer. That's him right there. The Hell's Angel. I say, you can't win, man. You can't win. You can't win. No matter what you do, they don't have something to say about it. But I'll tell you, oh, Lord, brother, I wasn't going to tell them it was you. But anyway, I'm not going to trade off my... You really hard up, ain't you? I'm not going to trade off my Christian music for gospel rock. Really, really. I try to be... Anybody knows me knows that Brother Danny tries to be open-minded. I try to go as far as I can with somebody. You might accuse me of a lot of things. There's one thing you can't accuse me of, and that's trying to see the other man's side. Really, I do that. I've tried my best to think, well, Lord, maybe, and I've been in these revival meetings, and I know, buddy, when the stage is set, when I get ready up to preach, and something, when they put that junk in one of them tape players and play that boogie-woogie, it just kills the service. It kills it. I get up and try, and it's just like preaching on the street when I get up. It takes 15 minutes to get back in the right atmosphere. I'm not saying I'm against soundtracks. Some of them's good, some of them's not good. Some of them's good, and some of them's not so hot. But I'm just telling you, brother, I'm not willing to trade off my gospel songs for modern-day gospel rock. I'd rather fight than switch what God's given up. I don't think every song has to sound just like that. I like some of the songs youth choir sing, maybe a little bit tempo, maybe a little bit different, but there is a line that you draw when that stuff starts making your flesh think about liquor and drugs and immorality. That's the wrong kind of music and has no place in the house of God or in the place of worship. I don't care who says it does. Rather fight than switch. Let me give you another one right quick. I ain't even got a thing wrote down for this, and I'd rather fight than switch a good Bible preaching church for a modern day religious social club. We ought to be thankful. Amen. You know, a lot of times, for fear of bragging, I know there's been a lot of people testify about the church today, and I don't know if that's because the Lord wanted me to say this or whatever, but for whatever reason, sometimes so people won't think I'm bragging. I don't even say, a lot of times I talk about the bad stuff, and if you ain't careful, you'll think it's all bad. Buddy, God's been good to us around here. God has been good to us around here. There's churches all over this country looking right here, wishing anything they could have a church just like. I'd rather fight than switch. I ain't about to trade it off. Listen, if 10 millionaires come up to me tomorrow and they said, now Danny Castle, if you will calm that crowd down there and you'll stand behind the pulpit and you'll just kind of cool it and keep them quiet and preach nice little socialistic gospel with a humanistic message, we'll pay off the youth count and we'll pay all the bills and build you a Christian school and all that. Why, you think that I'd waste 5 seconds of my time arguing with them? Why, brother, I'd rather fight than switch what God's given us here and trade it off for some dead religion. I don't care how rich a man is. I don't care how important it is. I'd rather fight than switch what God's given us here. Buddy, we've got a gold mine here. We've got a spiritual gold mine, place where boys and girls can hear the shouts of praise and see people walk the aisles and have a youth camp to go to and pray. I'd rather fight than switch. And you might just have to do it. You never know. Now, Somebody said one time, they said, Brother Danny, why come the devil fights us so much? I said, I wouldn't belong to a church so sorry the devil wouldn't fight it. I can show you something tonight, he ain't a fighting. I run across these things in some old notes tonight, and I'm just going to make sure to hear a few more minutes here before I close. And it reminds me of pastoring a church. This is scripture. It ain't in the Bible, though. It's Murphy's Laws and other truths. Let me just read off to you a few things. In church work, I said, Lord, whoever wrote that must have been a pastor or must have worked in churches. Listen to these great nuggets. Interchangeable parts won't. There is always one more bug. If you think everything's going good, you obviously don't know what's going on. Amen. Amen, brother. It ain't never always going good. Never has, never will. Listen to this. Where you stand on an issue depends on where you sit. Friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. If you try to please everybody, nobody will like it. Do you know that? You always find something in the last place you look. That's smart, ain't it? Right, you find it, you quit looking, dummy. You know it's always the last place you look. If a shortcut is the longest distance between two points. You ladies ever been out riding around with your husband? He says, well, honey, I'm going to show you a shortcut. Yeah. You know them shortcuts here, don't you? The chance of a piece of bread falling with the butter down is directly proportional to the cost of your carpet. Amen, brother. That's the truth. Isn't it weird how things, it seems like whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Here's one for you. If you're working on a car and you drop a wrench, it will automatically roll underneath the middle of the car. That's life. That's just the way it goes. You've got to learn to take it. No matter how long you shop, the item you bought will be on sale next week. Have you ever bought something? Went back and there, oh, that's high price. Ah, you know, that's just the way it goes, brother. That's life. And it's uncanny the way these things happen. It's just unreal. Every solution will breed new problems. Somebody else said, nothing is impossible for the man that don't have to do it. Somebody else said, when a broken appliance is demonstrated for the repairman, it will work perfect. The repairman will have never seen a model quite like yours. Next, if everything seems to be going well, you obviously don't know what's going on. I mentioned that a minute ago. Listen to this one. The chances of being seen by someone who knows you are dramatically increased by not wanting to be seen. Amen? You know what you call that? Proverbs that was wrote after the Bible was finished. I want to tell you what, brother, that's the way it is in church. Listen, this thing, listen, somebody's going to bump your car in the parking lot. Somebody's going to bite your kid's ear in the nursery. It's going to happen. You might as well just settle it in your heart right now. Somebody ain't liable to bite your ear. I don't know. You're liable to get your foot stepped on. Somebody get your favorite seat. I mean, something's going to go wrong. I'll tell you what, brother, I'd rather fight than switch. I like it. I like when you come in here. It got good in here this morning. Did you notice when the choir was singing? I was sitting over here going over some things. So I don't know. I don't know who got it started. Maybe the Lord. But somehow there's just a little breeze come through here. It come across that top row of the choir and down through here. It always seems like it comes from this direction. I don't know why. That's maybe my imagination. Seems like it just comes. It ain't you. That's because my office is over there and I prayed it. Kathy said it was because she sits over here. The Lord gets the hardest ones first.
Now anyway, it comes that way, boy. It'll sweep across here. Won't be long, somebody, amen. Won't be long, somebody, hallelujah. And boy, I'll tell you what, I like it when we go to meeting. I like it when we're here, brethren, we have met to worship. And the door, the Lord our God, will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come. Brethren, pray, holy manna. We'll be shouted all around, whatever it says. I tell you what, I'd rather fight than switch our church for a deadhead religious morgue where God isn't moving and God doesn't bless. I'm telling you tonight, somebody seen me today, real nice gentleman, all dressed, look, I had a tie on. He's real nice. He said, Brother Castle, and we was down here, place down here across from the steakhouse, down yonder. And I said, yes, sir. He said, you might be surprised at me calling you Brother Castle. And I said, I don't think I know. He said, I'm so-and-so. He said, I've been up and visited your church. And he said, I'll tell you what, I like it. And he said, I'm a Methodist. And he said, he told me where he went to church somewhere down this part of town. And he said, boy, I like it up there. He said, you know, Methodists don't say amen. And I said, well, a lot of Baptists don't say amen. And he said, that's right. And he said, but boy, I like it. He said, I like it because people say amen and praise the Lord. And he said, you know that preacher up there in Cincinnati? That well-known preacher. I said, you talking about Dr. Rawlings? He said, yeah. He said, I visited his church twice when I'm on my way to Ohio or Michigan or somewhere. He said, I'll stop in to Cincinnati just to go. He said, that man's a great preacher. I said, yeah, he's going to be back to church, you know, in November this year, this fall. He's going to be back with us for a couple of days. He said, really? He said, boy, I'm going to come. You know, I get to wondering about people like that, and I feel sorry for them. Really, I do. And I don't have nothing bad to say against his church. I don't even know which church for sure he goes to. It could be Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. Whatever it is, if it's dead, I feel sorry for him. I'd hate to sit in a church every Sunday morning just because my grandma was buried out on the hill, or because my family would get mad at me if I wasn't there, and just sit there every Sunday and nothing ever happened, nobody ever shout, nobody ever cry, nobody ever like, would that be awful or would that be awful? I don't know what it's like. I've never had to do it. Most of you have never had to do it. I mean, there's thousands of people set in places like that every single week, brother. And when they come here, it's just like an oasis in the desert for them or another church. I'm telling you tonight, I'd rather fight than lose. I could go into a long thing here, but just personal testimony just for a minute as I close. I wasn't going to do this, but as personal testimony, I've had oodles of people just ask me lately. They said, well, Brother Danny, how's married life? How's one? And my answer to every one of them is absolutely wonderful. I said, it couldn't be no better. I can't believe God has been as good to me as he had. I said, it's just like Christmas every day. I mean, I've never had nothing like that. I've never had the joy of having a peace like that. And I said, glory to God, it couldn't be no better. You know something? I had a lot of peace. Just
And somebody told me the other day, they said, did you know you look better? I said, well, appreciate that. They said, you look happy. I said, praise God, I am happy. God's been good to me. But I said, I forgot what I was going to say now when I talked about that. I said, by personal testimony, I thank God for what He's done for me. And somebody said, well, what about the church? And I said, this is the only thing you got to worry about, the church. There's only one thing anybody in here has to worry about, this church. You know what that is? God's here. God's here. If God's here, I'm happy. If God's blessing, hallelujah. If God moves, amen. If God, that's the important thing. I mean, it's obvious, you know, I can't please everybody. I've tried that. I like to put myself through torment for years trying to do that. You can't do that. That's impossible. But I tell you what, brother, if God's here, that's what you judge the church by. Is God there? Is God here? I don't believe anybody can look you right in the eye tonight and tell you with a straight, honest face that God ain't here. Amen. Nobody can look at you and say, God ain't here, brother. He's here. If you don't think He's here, you're the one that can't feel Him, son. We've had over 40 people saved in the last month. I've seen people say, hey, I thank God. That's what you judge a church by. I know you get a lot of persecution over it, and I'm sorry. And I know we've had a little rippling of the waters, and not near as much as I thought it would be, but I thank God that these are strong, and I can't imagine anybody being upset. I can't imagine it. I went through the scriptures with you for years, one at a time, verse by verse by verse by verse, over and over and over and over. I've said from this pulpit, I don't know how many times, listen, if you need to talk to me about this, let's sit down and talk. Let's go over it. Call me if anybody's got a problem. And we have nobody with a problem except maybe two or three people that's had a problem with it, and it's all because of pressure from the outside. Here's what happened. Here's what somebody told me. Nobody from our church. This is what a lady told me one time. She said, well, Brother Danny, when I hear you preach it, I believe one thing. And then when I hear somebody else preach, I believe another thing. And I said, I'll tell you what you need to do, sis. You need to get your Bible down and open it and see what it says and believe your Bible. Amen? I read books. I listen to preachers. I listen to what anybody's got to say. But brother, you know what? You know the only way you're ever going to get settled on eternal security? You know the only way you're ever going to get settled on premillennial doctrine, divorce, remarriage, all that stuff? The only way you're ever going to do it is say, listen, I'm going to take what that book says. I don't care what anybody says, what nobody don't say. What does the Bible say? And believe what the Bible said, and you won't have no problem with it. And the only problem you'll have is outside people, you know, saying this and saying that, and what about this, what about that. And you got to take what the book says. For any of you men who have a problem, you men need to be strong. Don't get spoofed. Don't get bluffed. Don't say, oh no, my family jumped down my throat. Be strong. Fight the good fight of faith. Ain't some things worth fighting over. Fight, brother. Don't be a chicken. Don't let them bluff you out. Don't be a wimp. And for you ladies, you need to talk to your husband. And then the rest of you ladies, you need to lay your phone off the hook and get your Bible down and see what the Bible says. That's what you're going to be judged by. The Word of God. The Word of God. I'd rather fight than switch. Amen? And I was talking to a preacher long ago, and he said, now, Brother Daniel, you're doing it. And he wasn't trying to be mean to me. He's talking to me about me getting married and everything. And I said, Brother, how you feel? He said, well, I think this, and I think that, and I think that. And I said, no, now, brother, you know what the book said. And I told him what the Bible said. And he said, but Danny, I've always been taught, though. And I said, I don't care how you've been taught. I said, what does the Bible say? And I said, here, the Word of God, show me where I'm wrong. And he looked at me and said, I can't. And neither can you or anybody else. I know what the book says. And brother, I'd rather fight
than switch over what God said and having His word. Amen? I told this one guy, I said, here's what you do. Get you a tape. Oh, let's say Sunday before last of me preaching. And then I'm going to get him a tape of a year ago preaching. And I'm going to put them both in the tape player and ask him if he can tell the difference. I guarantee he can't tell the difference. I met a guy over here. I preached that message on going to hell Sunday before last. Guy come in the bookstore. He said, man, that was a powerful message. He said, I appreciate that. Praise God. He said, that was good. I heard it on the radio. And I thought, I wonder how many people thinks, well, Danny won't be able to preach no more. I bet they must feel crazy. They must feel crazy. And they're hoping and praying that nobody won't get saved and the church won't be blessed. So God will be showing the third ride. That's cuckoo, man. That's crazy. Listen, brother. This is the work of God Almighty. We're not playing games here. We're not playing ball, seeing who can beat the other one and who can put down somebody else. This is the work of God Almighty. He couldn't tell the difference. He couldn't tell the difference. That's crazy. There's one thing for sure. I'll say this before I close. There's one thing for sure. Ain't nothing to be done about it now. We just will put this thing behind us and go on and serve God and serve the Lord and do our dead level best. Do what God wants. And I'm sure we will. And there's no doubt in my mind about that at all. There's some things worth fighting over. A guy tell me every once in a while, I said, boy, about God, I fight over you, preacher. I said, well, if time comes, I'll fight over you too. Amen? Somebody said they got that youth camp out there and they're making all kinds of money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's so profitable, why don't they go buy a piece of property on Lake James and take little kids and pay their way and feed them 3 meals a day? I see them doing it. If all this money's in this stuff, why ain't some more people doing it besides us? Amen. You know how much they sold an acre of land for on Lake James not long ago? It's for sale. Up a stupid bank, brother. Straight up a bank with trees on it. Acre. $90,000. That's what property sells for on Lake James. $90,000. But somebody from somewhere down south probably come up here and buy it without even seeing it. When they get up here, okay, well, I mean, you couldn't get a four-wheel drive up that thing. Squirrels have fall going up through there. Honest, they said it straight up. $90,000. If we're making all this money at the camp, why don't you go buy you some property out there and build you a bunch of buildings on it and take kids out there and feed them 3 meals a day and make some money, man. Get rich. And you know what we've done? We paid for the food and paid for these kids to go this week. Well, I wasn't planning on, honest, I wasn't planning on saying all that. I'm just wanting to tell you there's some things worth fighting over. And when you know you're right, you can fight rather than switch. All right, let's stand by our heads. We've done had one invitation tonight. So I think what we'll do is have Brother John sing us, lead us in one verse of Faith of Our Fathers or something like that and let you go. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we know tonight there's some things worth fighting for. Dear God, we know that there's some things that we should stand for. Dear Lord, we know that we're living in a generation that would do everything in its power to snuff out the light that you've given us. Lord, I pray by the power of the great Holy Ghost of God Almighty, He wouldn't be able to do it. Lord, you said, on this rock I'll build my church. Thank you.